For the IDEA Data Center, I'm Amy Bitterman, and this is A Date with Data. Every month, I sit down with data quality influencers from around the country to share their stories about special education data and the work they do to improve outcomes for children with disabilities. Welcome to A Date with Data. Today, we're diving into one of the most important efforts in special education data reporting, the State Performance Plan Annual Performance Report, or SPPAPR. As required by the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, or IDEA, each state must evaluate its implementation of IDEA and outline plans for improvement. This means compiling data across 18 Part B indicators, pulling from multiple sources from all over the SEA, and ensuring the accuracy, timeliness, and completeness of the data. This is no small feat. To help us understand how one state is tackling this challenge, we're joined by Jamie Chambers, the Part B Data Manager and SPPAPR Coordinator, and Amy Rohn, the Special Education Director from the Nebraska Department of Education. They are here to share the thoughtful process that Nebraska has put in place to help manage this massive undertaking. Welcome, Jamie and Amy. So glad to have you here.
Thanks. We're so excited to be here.
I'm excited to share our tool with you.
To kick things off, it would be great if each of you could just say a little bit about yourselves. Amy, do you want to start?
Sure. My name's Amy Rohn. I'm the State Director of Nebraska's Department of Education Office of Special Education, and I'm finishing up my fifth year as the State Director, but this is my 10th year here at the State Department. I was the Assistant Director prior to this role, and loving every minute of it.
Thanks. Jamie?
Hi, I am Jamie Chambers, the Part B Data Manager and SPPAPR Coordinator for the Office of Special Education. I think I just finished 6 years with the department, and I believe I've been in this role as the Data Manager for about 4 years, and I think 3 years as the SPPAPR Coordinator.
Great. All right, to start things off, could you share one data lesson that you think other states might benefit from hearing about?
Yeah, I'd love to. So as Jamie and I just both introduced ourselves, we're what I consider fairly new to these roles still, even though the landscape probably wouldn't say the same. But one thing that I think we learned really, really early on is we walked in and really it was we were comfortable using the data that had been ran the same way for many, many, many years before us. And as we started diving in, a lesson we learned was that we shouldn't be afraid to ask questions. So right away, Jamie did a really great job of using our TA partners and the tools that had been created to help us understand our data better instead of just relying on, well, this is what it has looked like in the past, or this is the report that it looked like in the past, so you're just supposed to use it this way. So the lesson was ask the questions, be really, really engaged and thoughtful around what you are looking at and what it's intended to be used for, so that you know and are really comfortable and confident in what you're eventually going to be putting out there as your state performance in many different areas, because this is a true representation of what students in our state are capable of.
Yeah, it's a continuous improvement process, right? You don't want to just say, we've always done it this way, so we're just going to keep doing it this way forever. You want to ask those important questions and make changes when you feel like it's needed. So I think that is something, especially for newer staff. As you mentioned, there's a lot of new staff, state staff all the time. So something they should really, I think, take into account and ask those questions. No question is too little or too small, and it's a steep learning curve. All right, so let's dive into what we're here to talk about, which is an SPPAPR indicator tracking sheet that Nebraska has developed. So can you tell me about the tracking sheet? Why did you create it initially, and how are you using it?
Absolutely. As I mentioned, I think I've been in the SPPAPR coordinator role for about 3 years, and I know the first year trying to coordinate 18 different indicators and the leads. Well, I mean, it was 17 at the time, but now it's 18. And the leads for all of those can be a little bit challenging. And so initially I built the tracking sheet for myself just to keep track of where we were with each of the indicators and what needed to be done in order to submit the SPP APR. And we were notorious as a state of getting all of the data at the last minute and submitting at the last minute. And I know that I function a lot better if I can do things a little bit earlier. So I wanted to just keep track of where we were to then also have conversations with our team about how can we start adjusting these timelines. So initially the goal of the sheet was to track what was completed. But over time, I started realizing we needed to capture the dates that they were completed so that then as a team, we like to review how things went in the previous year so that we could plan for the next year. And by looking at those dates, then we could start making a plan for what we could do different in the next year so that we can improve upon what we did in the current year. So we quickly realized that those dates were really important to be able to capture and support us in having those conversations and then eventually get us to a place where we are not submitting the SPP APR at the last minute. And we are able to utilize our TA partners' support in doing reviews of our SPP APR prior to submission.
Yeah. Can you talk about kind of what information do you have included in the tracking sheet besides the dates, it sounds like, and maybe people who are responsible? What are some of the other elements that you include?
Sure. I have a place where I keep track of when the data is ready for the indicator leads. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really important one because, again, there are some indicators where we have data months before the SPP APR is due.
Yeah.
So having an understanding of when the data is ready and available to provide to the indicator leads really helps us to move those timelines back. I have a space to capture who and when the data is validated. So making sure that the sum of all of the district data matches the number that we have for the state, because the last thing we want to do is submit one number in an SPP APR and then have different numbers in our performance reports. We want to ensure that there's a validation between those numbers.
Yeah,
I keep track of when I create what I call a temporary template that allows indicator leads to begin working on what they're going to write into the SPP APR before the package is ready for us to work in. Mm-hmm. I track dates for when that template gets completed by the indicator lead. We have a contract with WIN, which is Westat for an Inclusive Nebraska, and we have a review process where our WIN reviewers look at our temporary templates and give us feedback on that. Mm-hmm. Then once IDC is ready for review, we track the date that we send the indicator to IDC for review. We track the date that we receive that review back. We also meet as a SPP APR group, and we track the date that we have those indicator leads share that information with the entire team, and then ultimately track when the template is ready to be entered into the SPP APR. We have spaces to know whether or not it has pre-populated data, and then a check for making sure that the pre-populated data matches the data that we have. So we know another data quality piece there. And then if there's any required actions that need to be addressed, we have a place for that. Mm-hmm. And then just a place for like general comments. So if things are coming up, we have a place to write a comment about it so that we remember going forward why something maybe looked a little off or an action that we did. And then ultimately a date for when we enter it into the SPP APR, making sure that it gets reviewed for accuracy, and then when it is in ready to submit form so that once we get all of the indicators into ready to submit, we know that we are good to go, ready to submit it.
Wow, it sounds really comprehensive and a good collaboration tool that sounds like would benefit you as the SPP APR coordinator to kind of keep that higher level view and know that everything's on track and where all the pieces are, and probably helpful for Amy as the director also for oversight. But then each of the indicator leads too can really kind of see where the other pieces are and where they should be in time and what the next steps are. So it sounds like just a really fantastic tool all around.
I would just add that Nebraska, very similar to many states, is pretty small in staff numbers. Mm-hmm. And so we have individuals who cross over into multiple indicators. And sometimes for them, it was really hard to track, like, mm-hmm. what did I do for this indicator versus this indicator? So it's a really, really good tool for them to also just stay really clear on, for this indicator, here's where I'm at. And so it's really helped with organizing our team in the structure as well.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And like you mentioned earlier on, as like a good historical record too. So if there are questions that come up, you can't remember when something happened or what the next step was, you have that to refer to from the previous year and can just continue on with it. So many uses. I would imagine, and I know I think you've been using this for a few years now, how has it sort of evolved over time? What kinds of changes or enhancements have you made to it to get it to where it is at this point?
Yeah, and I think we kind of already have touched on a lot of that, even just with your recap of my previous answer is capturing a lot of the reasons behind the spreadsheet. You know, like I said, I first started just for my own organization, but then quickly realized that this is a really important oversight piece and tool to have for my leadership to be able to look at where we're at in the different work that we're doing for each of the indicators, as well as then having that shared knowledge across the indicator teams. And so initially it was just tracking whether or not these were done. Mm-hmm. But one of the enhancements that we did pretty quick off was to actually start tracking those dates. Mm-hmm. Because as we had mentioned earlier, we'd been having conversations about how we could back up dates. I knew I wanted to back up the date of when we submitted the SPP APR, but that's not just a switch that you can flip and just have it be done. You know, like in order to back up that date, you need to get everyone on the team to the same understanding of what dates they can back up so that we can submit it earlier. And that's a really difficult concept to try to grasp when it's involving so many different components and so many different dates. So by tracking those dates has helped us to review. And I always like to provide a little caveat to the team. I'm not tracking these dates to try to get anyone like into trouble, or we're not trying to like shame anyone for whatever dates are on there. This is strictly for our knowledge to know how we can back things up. And if a date maybe is later than our anticipated date, to then be able to come together as a team and communicate why weren't we able to get it done by that estimated deadline, and what can we do in the future to support those indicator leads in order to get it done.
So having kind of, like you said before, that conversation maybe after you've submitted the SPP APR to kind of look back and discuss how it went, and you have that data, you know, there, right, you know, captured in the tracker to reflect on.
I'd also just add that, again, like most states, or maybe not, I guess I don't really know, Nebraska's Office of Special Education isn't the owner of the data. Like, we have a data team that has to provide us that information. So the dates on there from the previous year also help trigger, hey, maybe I could start talking to this individual who actually gets that data for me, my indicator, earlier so that I have additional time. It really is a signaling point, as Jamie mentioned, for total agency communication.
Well, it sounds like it has helped improve in terms of pulling your submission together. I'm curious to know, you said a big part of this was you wanted to not be rushing at the last minute and have that time at the end. Have you been able to submit it sooner? And are there other data quality areas that have improved that you think are due to using the tracker?
Yes, we have been able to submit it sooner. And I'm looking at last year's tracker, and it looks like we had the goal of ready to submit by January 30th. And I think that may be around the time that we submitted. And so, yeah.
The 29th. We
actually not only met the goal, but we were ahead of the goal. And then for this coming year, our anticipated date or our goal completion date for ready to submit is January 22nd. So we're kind of still just trying to bump it as early as possible. And then for improved data quality, I would say that it absolutely has strengthened collaboration across our team for data quality using this tracker. It's just created more opportunities for indicator leads to make the connections between different indicators and better understand each other's work. Because especially like when the data is ready, you know, that's the same for indicator 5 and 6, you know, those indicators come from the child count data. And so then looking across when different indicators get their data and helping them make those connections back to the 6/18 data and helping the team understand that has been really powerful, because all of the indicator data is 6/16 data. And so we've been having a lot of those conversations about, you know, all of this data comes from the 6/18 data that we already federally report. And it's important to know that the 6/16 data gets extracted from that. Mm-hmm. We have been able to allow the team to then intentionally review and discuss each other's indicator templates together. So like if we have a new indicator lead, they're not coming in having to figure it all out from scratch. Mm-hmm. They can look at another indicator team who has maybe been doing their work longer and see what kind of things that they have on their indicator that would help write the different indicators. So like, especially if we have slippage or something like that, you know, we can borrow slippage language from each other where it seems the most relevant. And it provides that space for the indicator leads to know what's happening in other teams to know where they might want to go for support on their indicator. And so that just kind of helps us all have just greater consistency across our SBP APR. It helps us with accuracy and then intentionality in how we're writing.
Well, it sounds amazing. And I know other states are going to come away having heard tidbits and hearing these strategies that will really lead to strengthening their own approach. So really appreciate you both being on and sharing about not only this tool, but just how much it's opened up and helped improve your processes, collaboration, coordination, all those good things in your state. So hopefully I'm going to, you know, keep my fingers crossed for making that January 22nd date. I feel very optimistic that you will.
We think so too.
Well, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A Date with Data is produced by the IDEA Data Center, which is funded by the U.S. Department of Education. Have a story about special education data that you'd like to share? We'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us at IDEAData@westat.com. To learn more about our center and our work, visit us at IDEAData.org.